everybody, and welcome to the weekly Nintendo News Roundup Live for each and every Friday. The All-In crew breaks down the week in Nintendo news here live on youtube.com/allinpodcast, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern every Friday night. Good to see you, Eric.
You too, man. It is the first news roundup of 2024.
It's true. That's true. We got Foolish Fuji's here in the chat. Bowser's here in the chat. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody is well. Fulia's tuning in from work, so I hope you're having a good day at work, Fulia.
There, well, down under. Hello.
Well, hello. It's 11 a.m. Australian, apparently. So there you go. Yeah, good to see everybody. Appreciate y'all. Yeah, apparently I you're totally right. This is the first news roundup of the new year, and it actually wound up being low key kind of a stacked news week. I'm excited to get into some of the stories, but of course, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. We have some important business to take care of first, Eric.
Yeah, it's also the first patron shout out of 2024.
That's right. We need to thank our wonderful friends and supporters at patreon.com/allinpodcast. Huge thanks to everybody who supports us over there, especially our Golden Banana tier supporters like Rob Yapel, Sean, Shango, Baggins, Ashton, Tim A, a.k.a. NeoPrime33, a.k.a. Nintendo Dad Number 4, Matt, Shy Guy City Murray, Phelan Ward, Bill Tucker, Marcus O'Neill, Liam D, Gamer Jason, Andrew Wilkins, Foolish Fuji, Alan, hashtag look to the cookie, and Solo Something. You can join the Patreon with a 7-day free trial, get a ton of exclusive content, see what all the fuss is about, and join these fine folks' ranks. But moving into our Triforce tier, we need to thank Josh Vaughn, the godfather of Tingle Love Tuesday, John Datfast Cummins of the Retrologic Podcast, as well as the On Topic Retro Podcast, the Globetrotten Jet Set Nintendo Hub and Sparky of the Nintendo Hub right here on YouTube, Adam Caparello of the Retro Groove Podcast, Shy Guy, the other half of our Shy Guy Mod Squad, thank you Shy Guy, Daniel Hinojosa, Dan and Luma, Bowza, the Keeper of the Hugs, and the legend himself.
The first Uncle Randy shout-out of 2024. Uncle Randy.
Uncle Randy. Big thanks to everybody, again, who supports us on Patreon. You could also, if you want to support the show, merch is a great way to do it. Pick up some merch at bit.ly/allinmerch. Or if you listen to us on your audio feeds, 5-star reviews on your podcatcher of choice. Very quick, easy, and free way to support the show as well. But yeah, Eric, we've got some pretty major news actually to get into it. So what do you say we get into it?
I believe that we should absolutely get into that as the first news roundup of 2024. And we have some fun ones for you tonight, folks. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. I think we kind of have to start.
The prophecy has been fulfilled.
Golden Sun is coming to NSO next week, baby. Let's go.
So Golden Sun, and as many people have already pointed out, F-Zero on the GBA are at present the only two announced Game Boy Advance games to not have already been released for Nintendo's GBA NSO app. And we got word this past Thursday night that indeed, not only Golden Sun, but its sequel, its companion game, Golden Sun The Lost Age, will both be dropping next week on NSO. The return of the iconic handheld RPG series returns for modern day. A brand new generation of gamers can experience an absolute stone-cold classic. A classic, so classic, in fact, that we actually did a retrospective on it a while back. This is a stunning RPG duology that is an absolute must play if you've never checked out these amazing handheld adventures before.
Yeah, they're great. I have a lot of love and nostalgia for these two games in particular. My cousin and I played that. We were obsessed with this game when it came out, and we sort of knew that they had to put out The Lost Age at the same time.
Yeah.
They didn't announce, they only announced the first one, but it's like, if you're going to do the first one, you really should do The Lost Age as well. But like for them to just say like, hey, you know what? It's January, man. We're kicking off the new year with NSO, right? Here you go. Both games in one drop. And, for those who don't know, There is connectivity between these two games. You could transfer your save and like your items and your stats and stuff into the Lost Age, which is really neat. You used to have to do it with either a link cable if you just happened to have another GBA around to do that. But if you didn't, you had to type in like this massive like 400 character code to get that to work. So it's cool. With this, they have worked the link cable functionality into it. So you can actually just immediately transfer all your stuff over without having to do that. And that's great.
I remember that code. It wasn't even alphanumeric. There were all kinds of weird symbols. Different symbols and everything that you had to input for the code. It was absolutely insane. And so excited to get to be able to revisit this game. This game was an absolute treasure back when it came out on the GBA 20 some odd years ago. At this point, people have been waiting for Golden Sun to be released for NSO. I honestly thought it was going to be the final of the announced NSO games to drop on Nintendo's app, but we've still got one more coming. And honestly, like F-Zero on the GBA,
yeah,
I think might even be like the final game at large that we're waiting on for NSO at this point, because we got 1080 snowboarding. So Nintendo kind of has to show us a new NSO roadmap soon, I would think, unless, you know, they're planning on something else. But regardless, yeah, regardless, I'm going to take this win for exactly what it is, and that is an absolute win. Like you said, they kind of had to release both of these games together because, like, they are so synergistically related. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. If you played the game, that was a great joke. But regardless, at the end of the day, Golden Sun returns, and yay, just there was much rejoicing.
Yeah, these games are great. I'm excited for people to get to play them for the first time. It's really nice to see, especially like these big kind of meaty RPGs, these kind of like, you know, these are the kinds of games that people have long been asking for on NSO. So this is cool. And yeah, I mean, like, it's, you know, it's a shame that we don't have some kind of February Nintendo Direct that we typically get where they might perhaps talk about a new wave of NSO stuff. So maybe the timing is apt here.
Mayhaps.
But there are a couple of funny little stories that I just wanted to quickly talk about. This was really kind of hilarious. So CES is going on right now in Vegas, and hang on, let me find where my tab is for this. CES in Vegas is happening, and there is a AI Mario that is on the show floor, was on the show floor at CES, and it was like this gross, like, AI generated, I'm showing a video of the Twitter post of it, of Mario talking to attendees at CES in like a weird, like, stereotypical Italian AI generated voice, with no official sanction from Nintendo whatsoever. Go figure.
Not remotely. It's if you can't see it, it's standing just super stoically, hands at its side, feet together, and the head just keeps tilting back and forth super creepily. The only animation on the face is coming from the mouth and mustache, and the voice, like you said, like, has no, absolutely no hints of Charles Martinet's much more jovial, much more lighthearted tone with the character. It frankly sounds like Mario has emphysema.
It's like just a horrific AI Mario voice. And it's funny. The company, like, Proto Inc. made a statement saying that this was not intentional, which is kind of funny. They say, quote, "The AI hologram animation briefly seen today is an unfinished proof of concept tested for a client to demonstrate technological capabilities and innovation. It is not intended for commercial release. AARP and Nintendo were not involved in the inadvertent showing today. The fact that so many gamers of the world have taken notice shows that they are the best fans in the world, and we salute them." So that's one heck of a spin for this situation, but
kill it with fire. That's really all I can say. Kill it with fire. And the presentation there is just another reason I think frankly, AI constructs like this are still so far away removed from anything that human beings can create in type of in regards to, you know, a creative space. It's just creepy, scary. Honestly, I feel like that's going to be the next low budget horror film after we get this Steamboat Willie one. Just weird AI video game character mock-ups that are sent to destroy the world. That really feels like a bad sci-fi horror movie that you would see.
It's one of those memes that's like my therapist AI Mario isn't real. Exactly. AI Mario can't hurt you. It's like one of those.
That's exactly what it is. But it was again just another bizarre story. Again, wondered how something that was apparently unintentionally shown did wind up getting shown
on the floor
to this degree. Because of the nature of AI, it does almost make me wonder whether or not this was even supposed to be Mario in the first place, or if due to the fact it was the Consumer Electronics Show, I don't know, possibly some part of the algorithm, you know, thought because it was CES, maybe Mario may be the best way to present itself for this show or something. So I don't know how this happened, but again, it's super weird and super bizarre and super funny.
I've assumed a form that I feel would be appealing to you.
Exactly.
Humans.
Choose the form of the destructor.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, speaking of AI, it's actually not the only AI-related story to hit on this week. I didn't even know that this was a thing. Apparently, GameShark, for those who remember what GameShark is, GameShark was a fairly prolific, especially like in the late 90s to mid-2000s, like cheat system that you could use on your system to do various, like, you know, hacks and cheat codes and stuff in video games. They apparently at some point rebranded to AI Game Shark, and they were in the news this week because they released a statement saying that they were delaying, it's like a press release to their investors saying that they were delaying the release of AI Game Shark, or AI Shark rather, to September 2024 to coincide with the launch of the Nintendo Switch 2.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. So the exact quote here is, quote, "The innovative gaming software is set to mark a significant leap forward in the gaming experience, bringing enhanced gameplay for beginner level users. The official launch is planned to coincide with the Nintendo Switch 2 in September 2024, end quote. And this set the internet ablaze. You're like, wait a minute, did GameShark of all people just low-key confirm when the Switch 2 is coming out? And no, of course not. Why do y'all think GameShark is going to know when this thing is coming out of all people?
Well, because honestly, a lot of the times that we get these weird kind of official, you know, words, it is from the few people that are in the know that are just on the periphery enough to do something stupid enough like this to let that out there. Like, to use kind of a really weird example, this past week, we wound up seeing the new superhero suit for Dakota Johnson and Madam Web because of like a hair wash product tie-in to the movie.
Sure.
So weird stuff like this does happen, and they want to believe that it's real. Switch 2 rumors have been swirling for years at this point, for essentially the entire, like an entire life cycle, console life cycle's worth of time at this point. So people, like, eventually they're going to be right. Everybody wants to be on the ground floor, the ground level, when the information does start, when actual information does start coming out. And especially with the runaway success that the Switch has enjoyed for, you know, the better part of a decade at this point, of course people are going to be excited for the follow-up. But yes, of course this company wasn't going to be the one to drop the news. It's still hilarious. It's still weird and bizarre, just like the AI Mario story. And just goes to show you that, you know, once you see AI in the headline, you know, get ready to roll your eyes, I guess.
Yeah, like, you know, Nintendo does not have some of their closest third-party publishers probably in on the release, say, of the Switch 2. Nintendo is going to be very tight-lipped on this. And like the, you know, the idea that Game Shark of all people would know is funny. And they did independently, just so y'all know that we are not just, you know, speculating here. They did independently confirm to Jason Schreier that, that they were just guessing on the release date, and they were just making an educated guess like anybody else. So it is just kind of funny. And it's funny that that became a story at all.
Yeah. Well, it's because it is still a company. It's not just some dude on the internet. It's a company with a video game product. And for enough people, that's as official as it needs to be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we forget a lot of times that these are human beings just like us. We forget that there is, you know, an actual person behind these social media managers and behind the people writing these. Well, hopefully a person. Hopefully it's not all being done by AI over AI.
AI's in the name, dude.
I know. So maybe that's part of it. Maybe the AI algorithm examined all possibilities and determined that in this timeline, the Switch release for September 20 was the only possible outcome. Maybe the AI algorithm is the one that just threw its magical Nostradamus prediction out there.
If you want to get real conspiracy theorist, maybe they did it on purpose because, like, I mean, raise your hand if you even knew that Game Shark was still in business.
That's fair. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Like, this got them in the news, like, one way or another. Like, people now kind of know that it's even a thing still at all. So if that was intentional, it's actually low-key kind of smart marketing.
I got to hand it to you. If that was intentional in that specific utility, then yeah, hats off. As somebody who does marketing for a company professionally, hats off to you. That's underhanded, but I kind of appreciate that in a weird way. So good on you. You and I are here talking on this show about AI Game Shark because of it.
That's right.
When I can nearly guarantee you we wouldn't have otherwise. I also wasn't aware. I mean, Game Shark was very prolific during the beginning of the CD era of games, the 32-bit, 64-bit era of video games. But yeah, with the, you know, how big the internet has gotten and the universal accessibility of something like GameFAQs, a service like GameShark hasn't really been needed. You haven't really needed to spend money on that for some time. So I'm also kind of weirdly interested in what they think this AI-based service is going to provide to beginner level characters that they couldn't just get online at GameFAQs. So I don't know. I'll be morbidly intrigued to see what their product actually is.
Well, I'm sure the entire world is going to forget about this.
Probably
this time next week. So, but the Switch 2 rumors continue on. September's an educated guess, I guess. I mean, you know, their guess is as good as anybody else's. But speaking of marketing, let's look at this trailer that came out this week for the new Mario versus Donkey Kong.
Yes, sir. Which
is really cool, man. I told you this after we saw it. Like, this is what we needed. When they revealed this at the last Direct, I was like, cool. I'm excited that they're remaking Mario versus Donkey Kong. These games are cool and underrated. But, like, are you adding anything to it? And it turns out they are. Nintendo released this short trailer called the Pieces of the Puzzle trailer, where they revealed that the remake is actually adding two entirely brand new worlds to the game, which brings the total level count to over 130. It's also adding a new casual mode, local co-op support, time attack, plus levels, and expert challenges. So this is neat, man. I was not expecting this to be as robust as it is, but pleasantly surprised.
Well, Nintendo has been using this deluxe tag on so many of their remakes to show, you know, how much extra work and how much extra content is being added. We didn't really see anything like that here to be indicative of, you know, new content that we should be excited for. We hadn't really seen any evidence up to this point. Like, everything we'd seen about the game was, you know, certainly enough in a remake state, but we didn't see anything new up until this past week. And I agree, it's exactly what the game needs. It really should have gone with that deluxe moniker, I think. It feels almost like a brand for Nintendo at this point. I mean, Pikmin 3 Deluxe, New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, you know, all those other deluxe titles. It almost feels like, you know, how every game back on the Super Nintendo had to be Super whatever. Every game on the Nintendo 64 had to be whatever 64. Deluxe almost seemed like it had become that brand for Nintendo to denote all this extra content, but we didn't see that here. So I was wondering about that myself. But yeah, sure enough, they're adding a fairly considerable amount of new stuff to enjoy in this game. The casual mode, they showed off specifically Mario getting hit and bubbling very similarly to how Mario bubbles in a lot of the more modern platforming adventures, very specifically like Mario Wonder as well. So if you get hit, you'll just like bubble back to the beginning rather than lose a life. And something else to note in the casual mode is it looks like the timer is turned off. It looks like you have infinite time on the timer, which I think especially for a lot of the later levels will be a really good accessibility feature, because this game, you know, some of the later levels in Mario versus Donkey Kong can be tricky, or at least they could be in the original version. Or maybe I'm just bad.
Well, no, I think, you know, this game, what I'm really, you know, what's nice about this is, you know, this is kind of like this first Mario versus Donkey Kong, at least, is sort of a little bit of a successor or sequel to like Donkey Kong 94.
94, yep.
Which makes me happy, because I love Mario's like moveset in this game. These are great, you know, puzzle platformers, and I'm excited for people to be able to experience it. And especially with like, yeah, the casual mode, co-op, this means that, you know, that people are going to have like more ways to easily play this than ever before. And it's exciting, man. I think it looks great. And it comes out in just barely a month at this point. It comes out February 16th.
Yeah, I am continually disappointed that, I mean, here we are in 2024 and we couldn't have worked online co-op into this.
Sure.
But I mean, okay, it is what it is at this point. But yeah, it's 130 levels. That's a lot of meat to chew on. I'm really excited to check it out and see how it feels compared to the original Game Boy Advance version. I will say one thing that somebody noted: the original, like, stage clear animation of Mario kind of jumping toward the screen and then getting sucked into the door is out for something quite a bit more pedestrian. And that's also slightly disappointing, but I mean, overall the quality of the remake looks incredible. And I'm still really, really excited to check this out when it comes out next month.
Yeah. Bring it on. Looking forward to it. And we'll have to see how it shakes out when we finally get our hands on it. But we got bit of a little story here. This comes from gamesindustry.biz, who is reporting that Nintendo is currently in, quote, deep conversation with, quote, at least three independent studios to make games based on Nintendo IP. I've got the full quote here from gamesindustry.biz's Christopher Dring, who says, quote, I also know that Nintendo is actively meeting with independent developers to find new partners. Some of that is around publishing indie games, which Nintendo does from time to time, but it's also seeking studios that could work on some of its IP. Nintendo regularly works with third-party teams, including Bandai Namco, Team Ninja, Platinum Games, Mercury Steam, WayForward, and Grezzo, but the company is looking to add to that roster, and I know of three studios that are deep in conversation around making games based on Nintendo brands. This is exciting to me, if this is true.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo has such a large catalog of gaming IPs, and so many of them that we've bemoaned the absence of for so many years. Like, every Nintendo Direct that comes past and we don't get a new Donkey Kong game, every Nintendo Direct that comes past and we don't have a proper new F-Zero, every new Nintendo Direct that comes past and we're like, Mother 3! So, not saying that any of those should be on our radar for the coming year, but the fact that, you know, Nintendo is continuing to expand their team. And I think this might be kind of a delayed response to all of the massive PlayStation and Xbox acquisitions from last year. Nintendo trying to kind of cultivate more partners regardless, because, again, at the end of the day, Nintendo is going to try to push out as many games as possible, and you know, they can't do it if everybody else owns the companies.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo's never been one to acquire. They only acquire if they absolutely have to.
Exactly. But this is Nintendo's MO.
Yeah, Nintendo's always been much more willing to work with partners on a case-by-case basis, even partners that they've worked with for decades. You know, like HAL Laboratory, not owned by Nintendo. You know, they're much more willing to do that sort of relationship, which I think is good, but you know, it does kind of call into question because it does seem like we're in a bit of an acquisitions arm race. And I do wonder if Nintendo, you have to imagine they feel some pressure from that. But I think it's just cool. And I'm wondering how much of this is a reaction to something like F-Zero 99, where it's like, hey, maybe we internally at Nintendo are not, you know, exactly revving up some new F-Zero project, but maybe they could work with an independent, you know, developer or whatever to make something new in the IP that they have. We have heard independently, we've spoken with independent developers who shared with us about kind of Nintendo's process, and often they will approach independent developers on something that is already sort of being worked on, and they will say, how do we sort of turn this into a Nintendo IP thing? A good example of this is, you know, Cadence of Hyrule, which is basically Crypt of the NecroDancer, but, you know, but with a Zelda skin on it. And it's great, and I love it, but that was like a really good example of sort of Nintendo approaching an independent developer and saying, hey, let's make this a Nintendo thing. So if we get more stuff like that, I will be very happy.
I would too. Absolutely. And you know, anybody who's listened to our main show, whenever we have independent developers on, the one thing we ask each and every one of them is if there were a Nintendo IP, if Nintendo came to you and said you could work on any one of our IP, which would it be? It seems like they may have listened to the show and may have gotten some ideas from some of those, Seth.
We already know. Doug Bowser listens to every episode. Yeah, I guess,
I'm saying this could be a direct result of our show, people. That's all I'm saying.
Finally, he's like, let's just go ahead and start asking people, you know, it's about time. Well, maybe, you know, speaking of partners and people that Nintendo doesn't own, Game Freak popped up in the news this week.
Yes,
Game
sir.
Freak, filed a new trademark for something called Pandland in Japan. And even, we even have got access to the game's logo, which it's interesting. So Game Freak popped up in the news last year with this little image that's actually off here to the side for this Project Bloom that they're working on with Private Division. But Pandland seems to be something completely different. And just based on the logo, it looks to me, I think this is like a panda game. It's like black and white logo. Pandland seems like a panda thing to me.
I keep thinking like Poundland in my head every time I look at it. And the fact that there's a big O right in the middle of the logo doesn't really help matters much. But
sure,
in the Game Freak making a non Pokemon game isn't really that unheard of. We've actually gotten a fairly high number of non Pocket Monster related Game Freak games over the past 20 years or so. But a brand new IP from them is always, always going to be interesting. And I really wish we had more to go on than this logo, but hopefully we'll be able to see more in the future. Hopefully they're working on it. I imagine they are in some degree, at least, since they've made at least this much effort to try to lock down some trademarks and logos and other assets. But I don't know. Is the Game Freak and the Pokemon Company are two different things, but I don't know. It's with so little information, it's not really a lot we can glean from it, unfortunately.
No, yeah, there's not too much to glean from, but I will say, like, for me personally, I love when Game Freak makes non-Pokemon stuff. I love Harmonite.
Harmonite, I love Drilldozer, exactly. Timbo, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like there's some really excellent like non Pokemon properties that come out of Game Freak. So
yeah. Little Big Town to a lesser extent, but still fun.
Yeah, like I would, you know,
or so Little Big Hero. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, whatever it is. But it's cool to see that they're continuing to do this. And I don't necessarily think it's this Project Bloom thing. This to me has a very different like tonality to it. Yeah, I think it's like some kind of panda thing, but we'll have to wait and find out later. But I'm excited for whatever this is.
Yes, sir. I am too. Again, you know, Game Freak still makes good games. So really, really interested to see what this turns out to be. I wouldn't expect necessarily that it's going to be coming out this year, but who knows? Who knows? Maybe that's the February Direct. Maybe that's what they're revving up for.
Maybe. Well, I know you wanted to bring up the Konami re-releases that are coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, so Limited Run Games is continuing to deepen its relationship with Konami. LRG has already worked with the company on Castlevania collections and Contra collections and everything like that. And right now, they are using their Carbon engine. Konami specifically said that they are using LRG's Carbon engine to re-release Felix the Cat in a bundle that includes both the 1992 NES and 1993 Game Boy titles and a collection of the old Rocket Knight adventures from the Super Nintendo and the Genesis, including Rocket Knight Adventures from the Super Nintendo, Sparkster Rocket Knight 2, and Sparkster from the Genesis. So if you're a fan of classic games, I was really super excited, especially to see the return of Sparkster. So really also interesting that Konami is, like, they are getting deep in bed with LRG. At this point, they have developed a very strong relationship, and Konami certainly has a lot of other classic games that I'm sure the Carbon engine would be perfect for. Gradius immediately comes to mind for me. But yeah, a couple new wonderfully esoteric re-releases of classic NES, Game Boy, Super Nintendo, and Genesis games coming down the pipeline for all of us gamers of a certain age and all of us historical gamer nuts.
Yeah, I'm interested in Rocket Knight. And I hear those Felix the Cat games are actually pretty good, but Rocket Knight, like I actually, the only Rocket Knight game that I've played, they put one out on Xbox 360.
Yeah, the remake. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I've played that one and I really liked it. And I haven't played any of these others. So I'm interested in this. I don't know if it's something I'm going to, you know, jump on physically. I'm sure you are.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. That's a day one for me. I was really Rocket Knight. There was something about that character because, you know, a mascot platformer back in those days was, they were dime a dozen. Everybody had their own mascot. So it was really hard for individual ones to really stick out. But there was always something about Sparkster for me. I really enjoyed it. It just had this little bit of an it factor, just enough of an it factor to kind of keep it occupying the minds of people for long enough that, you know, they're going back now and re-releasing the games. Like you said, they got that remaster on Xbox Live Arcade some years ago. So, you know, it's doing enough, man. And I'm excited to see the return of the game and to see what else this collaboration, this partnership between Konami and LRG could wind up turning into at this point. I mean, LRG has greatly expanded their capabilities and their publishing wing since the Nintendo Switch has launched. So, I mean, there's a lot of really great classic game series that people wish Konami would go back to the well on. Maybe LRG is that. I don't know. That's a big leap from what's going on right now, but it does make me happy to see what is coming from this partnership between Konami and Limited Run Games.
Nice. Yeah, well, those go up for pre-order on the 19th. Mm-hmm. So that's next week. So be on the lookout for that. A couple of quick PSAs to hit here before we hit notable releases and say goodnight. First up, Frosty Fest is happening now. It's happening this weekend in Splatoon 3. And I also just wanted to point out that if y'all have not grabbed your free gear from the news tab on Nintendo Switch yet, you can, that is available now. So go to your news tab and good look call for the Splatoon 3 tab and get your free Frosty Fest gear that way. So just a PSA there. Also, quick PSA, new spirits are now available in Smash Ultimate. Those are around until the 17th. They've added like four or five new spirits to the game. So, pretty cool. Those are available now. I've already done them. I'll tell you what, the deep cut one is annoying. But the other ones are really cool and fun. So,
I mean, we're getting new Smash Brothers content. The gates have been opened. So. But yeah, definitely check out Splatoon 3. Definitely check out Super Smash Brothers Ultimate this weekend. You know, it's always nice to see, you know, these fun little seasonal, these fun little event-based content additions being added to the game. Another fun little reason to just jump in and remember is like, oh yeah, these games are amazing.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we do have a few notable releases to hit real quick before we wrap up. First of all, Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown has got a free demo available now. I've played it. I have a review up for Carpool Gaming. If y'all want to look that up, and we'll be talking about it more on the show, both on tomorrow's episode of All in a Nintendo Podcast, and after Eric plays it, we're going to do a big old review discussion on there too. So lots to talk about with Prince of Persia, but there is a free demo for you to go on the eShop and check out for yourself. A lot of people I've seen playing it. Really cool. And if you want to pick up the game from there, you can pre-order it. Get it on the 15th if you're getting the deluxe edition, or if you want to get the standard edition, it comes out next week on the 18th. And TLDR, the game is very, very good, and you should all be playing the demo and pre-ordering the game.
You heard it right from the $2 hero's mouth. That game coming out in both of its variations next week. We're super excited for it. And again, we will have a review up as soon as I'm able to beat it next week. But in addition to that, you know, we really thought that the Indigo Disc was going to be the final piece of content added to Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. However, this past week, we did get the epilogue, the, I guess, final piece of content for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet that ties up everything with a nice little Pokemon-shaped bow. I will say, when it comes to this, Nintendo is reminding people to get your little Petcha Berry from Mystery Gift. They're actually giving out something through the Mystery Gift functionality in conjunction with the epilogue, so don't forget to do that.
Yeah, the official statement from the Pokemon Company: in order to access the epilogue, you must have completed the stories of both the Teal Mask and the Indigo Disc. You need to compete in the Academy Ace Tournament at least once. You need to claim the mythical Petcha Berry item via Mystery Gift. After that, you open the Poke Portal in the game's menu, get the Mystery Gift, and then you head to the shop in Kitakami's Mosui Town and interact with the pink thing sitting on the cushion to start the story. So that's how you start the little epilogue you have there. I don't know how like in depth it is, but that's what you do. So
I would love to see the person that just stumbles on that.
Yeah. But yeah. So epilogue's available now.
Make sure you've got your hand patting your head and you're rubbing your stomach while you're interacting with the pink thing.
Yeah, Felicia says they're really making you work for it. Yeah, they're really kind of putting some barriers up there. But you know, such is the way for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. Also wanted to shout out Tools Up Ultimate Edition, which is the newest release. Tools Up, I think, came out a little while ago on the Nintendo Switch, but they've bundled in all the DLC for this big Ultimate Edition. We do have the game. The game is local co-op only. So I'm actually waiting for my wife to get home this weekend so that we can record a video for it here on the YouTube channel. So, stay tuned for that. That'll probably go up at some point next week. Tools Up is like this. It's like Overcooked, but home renovation. Basically. So, yeah.
Very nice. And I did see some stuff about this Frog Song game that's come out, but I don't know too much about it.
Yeah, it looks great. It's a 2D top-down sort of like Link's Awakening style thing where you play as a frog. And it looks great. I've had my eye on it for a while. It was at like a Wholesome Direct, and actually I think at the like Wholesome Snack that they did last fall, I think it shadow dropped during that on PC, and it's now available on Nintendo Switch. So the game looks great. I'm looking forward to checking it out myself.
So frog game that plays like Link's Awakening, getting some like For Whom the Bell Tolls vibes from that.
Maybe a little. Yeah, maybe a little. So but yeah, I think that's pretty much it in terms of notable releases.
Yes, sir. Still a very fun first news-filled week to start the year, but thank you guys for joining us for our first news roundup of 2024. Make sure to like and follow All In on Facebook and Twitter, again, at All In Podcast. If you're here watching us live on YouTube or even after the fact, before you go, go ahead and make sure to click the like, the subscribe, the bell, all of those little buttons so you never miss a video from your friends here at All In. Unless you've already done it, then thank you so much. Like you're awesome. Like Like, thank you so much. But in addition to that, we've got a ton of content going up elsewhere. Make sure to join our amazing, amazing community over in the Discord and even check out our Patreon.
Yeah, patreon.com/allinpodcast is the place to be. We got three tiers of support over there. You can get a 7-day trial to the Golden Banana tier. Check out the exclusive content for yourself and see what all the fuss is about. You can also pick up some merch, bit.ly/allinmerch. And if you want to support the show for free, dropping us a review, a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice is a great way to do it. So thank you all very much.
Yeah, thank you all, every single one of you, to everybody who has already liked and followed and subscribed to All In Media, to everybody who has shared any of our content across the internet, to everybody who has picked up a piece of our merch at bit.ly/allinmerch, to everybody who has dropped words, and especially to our legendary patrons, to each and every one of you, we would like to extend the first Namaste of 2024.
That's right. Namaste. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Shout outs to Fulia, to Bowza, to Sean Capri, who are all here live tonight, to Ivan Zone. Ivan of Golden Sun fame came out tonight, so good to see you as well. So, yeah.
He was reading our mind.
Yeah, that's right. Big thanks to everybody who came out. A new episode of All In drops tomorrow. It's going to be a fun episode. We are, speaking of Golden Sun, talking about the top five handheld franchises that need to be reimagined for the modern day or come back in some way. We're talking about the future of the Super Smash Brothers series, and we're doing an indie showcase on Cobalt Core. So yes, it's going to be a fun episode that hits your feeds tomorrow. But yeah, until next week, guys, have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
See you then, folks.